This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 550 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me once again from Melbourne, Victoria, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, it is Mr. Glyn Lavender.
Stop talking. It's a quick podcast. Just go. Hello, Bruce. Hello, Glyn.
Hey, mate.
Hey, Bruce. What have you been doing? What have you been doing, Bruce? Nothing. What have you been doing, Glyn? Nothing. Good.
Bye.
See ya. Bang.
What have you been up to the last couple of weeks?
I've been shooting with the project I've been doing.
Oh.
I've been doing a bit of that still.
Is it still going?
It takes months to do.
Oh, my God.
You know, especially when you've got to shoot in good weather and you live in Melbourne in winter.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a simple, oh, let's go out for a day and take some photos.
That does kind of limit your options, doesn't it?
But I also had the day where I had to shoot a model and had a video crew follow me around to film that segment of the
right.
of the promotional video. So
right.
that was one thing I did for that was a full day.
Cool.
Then just been going through, well, sort of, I probably stopped shooting now. I'd done something. Last night was a remarkable sunset, of course, as soon as I stopped shooting.
Yeah.
Always the way.
Yes.
Best sunset I've seen in probably a year.
Yeah, right.
Typical, yeah. So now it's just a matter of going through the selects and deciding which images, what are the hero images, which ones tell which this part of the lens, what tells this part of the lens, and
the
strengths and so on. And, so I've been doing that, and that's kind of it. School holidays, so, I've been just having to look after the little grommets,
Yep.
Well, they're not so little grommets anymore, 12 and 15. It's about to be 16 in a week and a half time or something. So
wow.
Kind
flown
of crazy.
By.
Yeah, 10 days. So, 16 in 10 days. So I went out the other day and for the birthday present, I bought the learner permits and the learner's books and all those things as part of the gifts. That's a whole new world of pain about to come to the family.
Yeah.
And I've got something down here because I actually stupidly did some research for this yesterday. Found nothing, but did some research. I know. But I wrote one of my notes was next Thursday. Video reactions.
Okay. What does that mean?
I don't know what, and I have no clue what any of it means.
Right.
Well, that's not true. I know what next and what Thursday means. Not necessarily in any context that makes any sense to me.
So 50% of it makes sense.
Next Thursday, video reactions. I have not a clue.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
What that means?
No, I got no idea. We don't do a video, so.
So, no.
Is it for your channel with your wife?
No, I haven't started that. She had a really bad cold, so she's wheezing. It's not the best way to start off a channel. But sounds like you're doing a video podcast with a dog with breathing issues. Not that I'm calling my wife a dog.
Right.
That would be,
inappropriate.
Not very pleasant. Yeah, not well. Only she found out. Oh dear, that's terrible.
Oh dear.
So maybe next Thursday it'll come to me and I'll go, oh.
that's what it was.
I have no idea. So that's it. So I've been moderately busy photography wise and
cool.
Dealing with the Japanese and I got a strange email from them yesterday actually saying, talking about lens security. They've been having some intellectual property theft. An actual product theft and to really be worried about handling of the gear, how it's seen in public, all that sort of stuff. And
right.
I said, certainly not come from me. I mean, I'm very circumspect with all this stuff. And even when I'm walking around, I actually have my hand over the lenses that I use. So you can't even see the lenses on the camera. You can see the camera, but you can't see the lens. And as is wont when you're out taking photos, people will often come up and talk to you, fellow togs.
Yeah. Yep.
And I won't even tell them what I'm shooting or they can see what I'm trying to take photos of, but I won't sort of explain the shot or anything, and I'll always cover up the lens. So I'm pretty circumspect with that sort of stuff.
And it's such a common thing, that you get into a chat with a photographer and you go, what are you shooting with?
Yeah, exactly.
That's just a stock standard, icebreaker almost.
Exactly. But me not being a very social person, it's kind of simple, Who would have told them otherwise? Speaking of having conversations with photographers, this just hit my head just now. a guy questioned me on Facebook last night.
Yeah.
And it's a guy who's been following me for a couple of years, and he's a friend of my father-in-law's.
Right.
And he commented on an image I had. There we are. He commented on a photo of mine and said, "And what are you trying to say with this image, Glenn?" Now, and the problem is, of course, you know what it's like when you read something. You can read it like, oh, what are you trying to say with this, Glenn? Or what are you trying to say with it? Yeah, you can read it anyway damn well want.
Exactly,
you
know?
What I replied was, same thing I try with all my images. I am here, see me. That was my reply. So then it comes back with, okay, Glenn, firstly, I'm a fan and wish to remain so. Secondly, I'm a friend and fan of your father-in-law, so be careful. There you go. I think this image has amazing resonance because of its resemblance of another famous image. Can you give me another reason that this image is important?
Right.
So my reply is, I don't need to. All images are interpretive.
Yeah.
My images are never declarative. I can type better than I can speak.
Yeah.
never declarative. I show you the human I have met, the human I spent some time with, the human I captured. Telling the tale of her gypsy existence in this particular instance, the money she earns from her family for the jewellery she makes, in brackets, my bracelet from her is one of my treasures, the strength she shows the camera, the story behind the face tattoos and the colours she wears does not necessarily tell the story of who she is. It changes our interpretation of who we think she is. I can also say I'm not a huge fan of this image. I think maybe the question is, why is this image important to you? Because he's the one having the feelings about it.
Yeah. You know?
And he goes, oh, great answer. But I've already questioned the importance to me. What's the importance to you? Please dig deep. Now, at this point, I'm trying to figure out, okay, what's he trying to find out?
Where's he going with this line of questioning?
But at the same time, this is the best conversation I've had about one of my images in years.
Yeah, right.
Because you don't have to like anything I do.
Yeah.
You don't have to hate everything I do. But having some thought or some depth of feeling or emotion beyond, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Or cool shot.
Yeah.
Is really good. Yeah. You know? So it doesn't matter if I like or dislike what this guy's, how he's questioning, or is it completely irrelevant?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's relevant is, well, what's the reasoning behind this? Why is it affecting either you or me or any viewer?
Yeah.
So I found it really kind of interesting. So please dig deep. And so my reply was, then it's simple. It's not important to me. None of my images are, except the kids and family. And then it comes back up. My apologies for possibly seeming rude with the previous questions. I do love this image of yours, and as a follower, I've seen it before. Well, you couldn't have done, because it's the first time this image has ever seen the light of day. But anyway, it's irrelevant. Yeah. You and I have not met, though an old mate in your father-in-law has spoken of you many, many times. Not so good, I'm sure. My reaction to this image is visceral, not personal, and I apologise for any perceived hostility, which, once again, that's it turns how you choose to read what's being said, more so than anything else. I do love this image of yours almost as much as I love as Steve McCurry's, obviously Afghan girl, and others it reminds me of. This is a great image and you should share it proudly. I had some wine earlier and you should also ignore any hostility that may have been perceived in my earlier messages. To which I replied, no drama at all. I've never have an issue with someone's questioning of an image. As far as I know, this image has never been seen in the light of day. It was shot 5 years ago and I've only gotten around to looking at most of the other images from that shoot after I chose one all those years ago. But I generally have no emotive connection to the images I take. For me, the fun is in the doing, not the end result. And then I posted, I much prefer this image, which is another one from the same shoot.
All right.
And he goes, both great images, both be very proud of, I'd be very proud of myself. I wanted to finish with this. I relate to some of what you said, the making or creating of the images is my first love also. And then he goes on about how his love of photography came from being in the dark room and developing images and then the early days of digital with the very first editions of Photoshop and everything else. But I burnt out sitting at the computer over 20 years ago, and behind the camera now is my only love. just me and my moments with my subjects. That's the magic for me these days. And I reckon that's you know, that keeps going back to what I always say, and I end with the same thing. If the doing doesn't make you happy, then there's nothing else in it that will.
Yeah.
No other element of it. Yeah. Unless it's a, and I can see you might not be a photographer. You might not have an interest in going out and taking photos, but you might love the darkroom process.
Of course.
And that's fair. That's an art in and of itself.
Yeah.
You might not be a photographer. You might love post-processing.
Yeah.
But that's where the fun's. If you can't get the fun into doing that, then there's no point, yeah?
No.
Doesn't matter what aspect of photography that interests you, as long as that's what's giving you joy and it doesn't require an outside opinion to make you to feel validated, you know? But I thought it was a really interesting conversation about an image, because you don't get many people actually ask anything interesting about photography these days. It's all, you know, surface stuff. And it's stuff like that photo competitions should be more about, what camera clubs should be more about, and is discussing images and why it resonates, or what's good about yet another photo of the Wanaka tree in
New Zealand.
Okay, you've taken that photo, but why?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've taken the photo of the Mona Lisa, well, not the Mona Lisa, the Eiffel Tower. Yeah. And I get the Eiffel Tower, I even get the Wanaka tree. It's a remembrance that I was there.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to create a piece of art, I don't know. Yeah,
look, it'll be exactly the same for me coming home with photos of the Northern Lights. It's not like I'm going to have got anything that's unique.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, no, wait. Here's a good one. But it's unique.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, God, that's gold.
Gold for Australia.
We should stop the podcast now. That's the high point. But that's exactly but, that. I reckon that nails it in a nutshell. Exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I interrupted.
But again, it will be the fact that those images will be mine. Tell me when I do this stuff to you,
when I just talk all over you and don't let you finish, do you just edit my part out of the video?
Yeah, I delete yours out, yeah. Because I have that power.
Oh, no. I just thought of it just then. Because I do that to you all the time, deliberately just try and put you off.
I know.
And now I just realise you can just cut me out. You Anyway, leave that one in.
Yeah. So
go. So you were saying you're going to go there and...
But yeah, so the images I'm going to come home with will certainly not be... You know, images that no one's ever seen anything like it ever before. They're going to be, you know, very derivative of a billion other photos. But for me, it will be, as you were saying, it's all about the memory of I was there. I got to witness this firsthand with my eyes, and this is the memory that I have of that particular moment, you know? And it's why I say to you that I do go back and look at my holiday photos quite regularly, even the old stuff, because those images take me back in my mind to that time and that place.
Yeah.
And as it happens, you know, in the past, I have always been a big fan of photobookshop.com.au, who do really nice hardcover photo books. And every time we do a significant travel, you know, whether it's domestic or international, I usually produce a photo book, and I always go for their 30 by 30 centimeter. So it's a square book. So my portrait images, my landscape images all print the same size. And when we did our Europe...
What if you didn't take them the same size? What if you, like, used a 24 mil lens or like a 50 mil lens?
When we did our Europe trip in 2017, I came back with so much, you know, so many photos I was happy with that I ended up producing two books. So I called it Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Wow, how original.
Yeah, I know, right? Anyway, we've just had new neighbours move in the house where the grumpy guy used to live. I don't know if we've ever had that conversation, but anyway, lovely young couple, just bought their first house and had them over for drinks last weekend.
Poor babies.
And the conversation eventually got to photography, and I pulled out these two photo
books. Why did it get to photography?
I can't remember the train of the conversation now, but or the chain of the conversation.
So in other words, people, Bruce said, oh, by the way, do you want to see my photo books?
I didn't.
You know, it's like you go to the guy who used to, the old days, used to want to pull out the slide projector at every possible opportunity.
So I brought out these Europe books, and we'd had a few too many to drink, and we went to bed, and the photo books got left outside.
Now
they were undercover. They were on the veranda, which is covered, and then the following morning, Kath gets up, lets the dogs out. Half an hour later, I go out, and Randy has chewed the photo books.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So he was not a popular dog that day. So as a result, I've actually started reprocessing all of those photos because I don't have the project file that I actually sent off. So I've got to recreate the photo books from scratch.
Jesus.
And Kath said to me, like, she could tell I was
really?
And she said, look, you've developed so much in your the way you process your photos. You'll just do it so much better this
Oh, nice try.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway.
Oh, no. What a disaster. And the monetary cost and all the...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Bloody dogs.
The money this dog has cost in the last 12 months, I tell you. Yeah, he destroyed our spa cover, and that's $850 bucks to get that replaced. So I dread to think. Plus all of the outdoor furniture that he's chewed. Like, we have a beautiful wooden outdoor furniture setting, and he chewed all of that when he was a pup.
Man.
Yeah, he's cost a bit, this dog.
Bloody animals. God love them, but Jesus.
Yes.
Anyway, we want to keep this podcast short, Dave. We've been waffling for like 15 minutes.
So we have.
Let's talk about only stuff that's important.
Okay.
Let's talk about me.
Okay. What have you got?
Oh, I've got nothing. I just want to talk about me.
Of course.
I do have one thing. I'll just talk about my one thing quickly because I entitled it Whiny Bastard.
Yeah.
And it's a Peter Pixel's web page, Mr. Pixel himself, about this talented photographer that nobody knows is ready to quit. And I go, well, that's interesting because there's lots of talented photographers out there that nobody knows.
Yeah.
And it says his decision to reject most social media platforms has resulted in being virtually unknown.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the first line, and he's ready to bow out of the medium. I said, well, hang on a sec. How are you getting your photos to be seen any other way?
Yeah. I mean, he puts them on Flickr, but he barely receives a handful of views on Flickr. Surprise!
Does anyone go to Flickr? I mean, it's like me saying, I never take the film out of my camera. I take the film out of the camera, put it in a drawer. No one ever likes my photos.
Yeah.
No one's ever seen your freaking photos, dude. And this guy takes some lovely photos. This guy's a lovely photographer. But...
Well, you mean he takes lovely photographs. We don't know that he's a lovely photographer.
Yeah, good point, actually. Excellent point. Actually, I don't think he's a lovely photographer because he's complaining and it's made news for some reason.
Yeah. He's probably got friends who work at Petapixel.
And the thing is, he goes, he can be an extremely picky photographer, and I don't have the pressure to keep performing to my audience the way someone with an Instagram following might. Okay? So, fair point. So what's the...
But
what's,
you can't have your cake and eat it too. Either you want to put your images out there for, you know, consumption by the masses, or you don't. And there's no right and wrong there. You know, you do you.
Exactly.
If you want to share them, share them. And you live with the praise and you live with the criticism that comes with that. And if you can't handle the criticism or the praise, then don't put them out there.
Yeah, it's just the bizarrest.
It is.
So I'm just looking at the comments because it was the best part. Is this supposed to be humour? I don't get it. hobbyist gives up hobby? One out of 100 million photographers of the world reaches the realisation that they're just doing it for themselves and that's no longer a need in their life. What's the point of this article? As a professional photographer, I understand the sentiment, but it's also self-inflicted. Nobody knows who I am. Do you do marketing? No. What do you expect?
Yeah.
It's just like, what's the point of this article? He takes pretty pictures, but doesn't share them.
Yeah.
Except on PeterPixel to draw attention to himself.
Do we know how old this guy is?
I've seen a picture of him. I'm going to say he's late 30s, early 40s.
Oh, okay. So it's not like he's a millennial.
No. He's been shooting in Argentina. I think it's Argentina for like 19 years or something.
Right.
Or going to there for like, and it seems he's got some lovely photos, yeah?
Yeah.
And he goes, he says that all the negatives of being on social media were too much for him, so he closed them down. And then I realised that too many of the places I shoot or places around the world were becoming damaged through over-visitation. So it's like, well, I've got these pretty pictures, but I want people to see them but not know where they are.
Yeah.
I want people to know who I am, but I don't want to know what I'm doing. It's the bizarrest article.
I'm sorry, but I'm calling this guy now the Kurt Cobain of photography.
So anyway, that was I thought just the strangest
that
thing in photography.
Very odd. Yeah, very odd.
Since 2005, Shutters Inc. has been a labor of love. But beyond the time required to produce it, there is also a financial commitment. If you find value in the podcast and would like to help keep the servers running, hit up the Patreon link, which is in the show notes. Even a couple of dollars a month will help. Much appreciated. Now, back to the podcast.
We should talk, whilst we can, before we do anything else, let's talk about your new toy.
Yes, well, I'm guilty of an impulse buy this week. You're
guilty of being an idiot.
So this popped up as a sponsored post on my Facebook feed, and it's
it does work. Now you're going to get tons more adverts. Yeah,
that's right. It's a
you're
device,
the guy who bought something.
It's a device called Arsenal, and they've just released the Arsenal 2. And basically, I kind of imagine that this is a, you know, newer, much more cleverer version of the trigger trap device that I had up until it got stolen in Paris in 2017. But basically, this is an AI-powered device that clips onto your hot shoe, uses a USB-C cable to connect to your camera, and allegedly uses AI to do all sorts of amazing stuff with your camera.
I think you misread it. It uses Al. A guy called Al. There's a little guy inside there called Al.
You can call me Al.
He's a very, very good photographer, and he's sitting there making decisions for you.
Awesome. Yes.
It's like Siri or Alexa. This is your virtual assistant.
Right. Excellent. So I've placed the order, and it should be shipped later this month. I'm certainly hoping that it gets to me before I leave in September. Hopefully it will.
Well, look at the stuff it claims to. So it takes into analysis. There's an image here on the website where it's looking at a landscape, and you use your phone to interact with the app,
yep.
Right? And it says it takes into account things like hyperfocal distances, texture in the scene, shot noise, sensor size, saliency analysis, focus depth needed, diffraction, all this is all stuff it takes into account to analyze the shot that's in front of you and make a decision to how to get the best result out of it.
Yep.
And then, of course, it does what all other AI does. It sees what other people have taken photos of, the same type of thing, and tries to copy that. Copies someone else's photo. But it really is, I think, and we were talking about it before you bought it.
Yeah.
I think it does seem to do some pretty darn good stuff.
Yeah.
Even to stuff like you can do the panorama and stitches the panorama live.
Yes.
I think it's brilliant.
You can actually see the pano being stitched one frame at a time, which is amazing.
And if you're doing, and this is by the looks of it, it's doing, 100 shot panos.
Yeah.
And stitching it for you as you go, which I think is just brilliant.
And can do multi-row panos as well. Like, it's not just single row. It's, yeah.
Exactly. So you do a multi, so that looks pretty darn cool. But there's also something, there's a couple of other things I saw, but I can't remember exactly what it is now. But yeah, you got why I called you a sucker is of course the fact that you didn't realise that you were looking at a US
prices,
and therefore US prices. So you got a little bit of sticker shock when you thought, "Gee, that's expensive, but I'm going to buy it anyway."
Yeah.
And oh my god, that's a lot more expensive.
Yeah, like yeah. I said, it was a little bit of an impulse. I saw it and went, oh, this will certainly replace my trigger trap, and it certainly looks like it's got some cool features. You know, the one where it'll do, you know, multiple frames so that it can remove all of the people from the... you know, from the shot, which I think is a great feature.
Yeah.
And there was something else I was going to mention about... Oh, I know what I was going to mention. The fact that this is the highest-backed Kickstarter project of all time.
The original one was.
Oh, the original. Right, okay.
Yeah, Arsenal itself.
This so is Arsenal raised 2. $4.2 million in its original Kickstarter campaign, which is just... phenomenal,
and that's why when you mentioned it, because I knew about it from previous times,
right.
And I was not, and I'd never seen much negative commentary around it post being released.
Yeah, right.
So obviously they've done a decent job and kind of fulfilled everything they said it was going to do.
Well, you would hope if they raised that kind of funding prior to launch that they would have been able to live up to the promises.
Well, exactly. You kind of hope. All stuff like focus stacking, I think, is brilliant as well.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Focus stacking is great. The magically remove people from shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a trick we've been using for years with Photoshop. And for people who don't know, if you're at a really busy tourist location and you want a photo without all the people around, you set your camera up on a tripod and take tons and tons of shots.
Yep.
And, of course, people move around, so they're in different spots in each shot, and then you use software to basically remove every person in it. It's a laborious task.
Yeah.
But this does it automatically for you. Take a whole bunch of images and then removes everyone. And it processes the photo on your phone.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So it's not. Yeah, so this is whilst you're traveling to be able to get some pretty darn cool... Pretty darn cool. So yeah, look, I think it does HDR. Yeah, long exposures.
Yep.
I don't know. It just seems to be a very clever bit of tool.
Yep.
So I'm really keen to see what you get out of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get out and give it a good thrashing before I go to Alaska, so that I can get familiar with all of the functions. Yeah, before I leave.
Yeah, it's not something you want to be learning on the job.
Oh,
it's
got
to be. It may be fairly intuitive, but either way, yeah. If something awesome's happening when you're overseas, you also want to be looking at it, not just spending time trying to get the shot right.
Exactly.
So the more you know it, the more you can concentrate on that. But look, yes, I know it costs a lot of money, but it is 30% off retail price is going to be.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
technically, you could probably sell it down the track if you didn't like it and recoup most of your costs.
Yeah,
good. No, awesome. No, I'm really looking forward to hearing about it.
Yeah, the other thing that I came up with was something that appeared on InsideImaging.com.au this week, and it was Shay Kirk wins 2023 National Photographic Portrait Prize.
And your heading was what? Sorry,
portraiture.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Do you like it as a portrait?
I don't dislike it as a portrait. First of all, it's a hell of a lot more portrait than some of the images I've seen. That have won
well, there's that.
Prizes.
There is that.
Here's the thing. So I've been trying to put myself into a mindset of a judge for these kind of things.
Yeah.
Okay. And what are you actually looking for? You know. And I guess what you would see a ton of is a whole shed ton of over-processed, over-familiar, over-similar portraits.
Yeah.
Right? Just the same stuff over and over. You know, glorious, grandiose, amazing indigenous photos and all that sort of stuff. All this exploitative, similar sort of stuff that I shoot. And then you've got this, which is a really bare bones, it's not even trying to be photography. It's basically being a picture.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I meant by that is that it's not trying to be arty in what it does with the photography settings. And I mean, the lighting is really bland.
Yeah.
The background's bland. The subjects... there's a lot being said in the face. Yeah, I mean, it's an unusual subject as far as, you know, we don't bear in the both terms, we bear ourselves to people when we're less than perfect looking. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You see lots of photos online of massively fat, hairy blokes and rolls of cellulite. So it's a little more confronting to see a normal human than it is to see the beautiful people.
Yeah,
and there's lots going on. The subject itself, even to like the haircut for the subject. Is interesting, so
okay.
because it's not trying to be anything other than functional,
right?
So there's a lot of stuff going on in this image that is bare bones humanity, a certain amount of resignation, and a certain amount of I am what I am.
Okay,
and I think the photo captures that pretty well. And doesn't try to be something it's not, I guess. Now, as for, I haven't read his the portrait is half of a stereoscopic pair, as an example, part of his ongoing series, Vantages. So he's doing this pretentious, old-fashioned two images, stereoscope.
Right.
So there's a lot of, not but there's a lot of arty stuff going on in the background to what his reason is. And just having a look here at something from the model itself, I've always struggled with the size of my body, from being extremely overweight to now being overweight. Okay, so she's on a journey. That's sure. Interesting. Over the past few years, working with other photographers, making portraits, I've been processing my feelings about the transformation and how my body fits within society. I've begun to reclaim my skin by designing symbols about my life so far that I've been getting tattooed. Oh dear. I'm starting to feel more home in my big queer body. And Ruby hadn't met, Kirk hadn't met Ruby in person prior to capturing the portraits. We just spent a few hours together chatting and making work, and this is what came out of that, he said.
But that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, you spent a few hours together, and that was the best you came away with?
But he says he likes to work slow. Hey, it was so good it won a portrait prize, dude.
Yeah, I mean, hey, the guy just got $30,000 in cash, so who am I to bloody comment?
In an explicitly contemporary take on traditional modes of portraiture, Kirk considered a methodical process facilitates an intimate exchange between photographer and subject, with the intention of creating heightened sense of agency for each sitter. Oh, and a load of... In this way, the series becomes an exercise for the sitter in representing themselves, defying the threat of reduction to a single vantage point. He's come close to winning several prestigious awards with Vantages. He won the 2020 NPPP Art Handlers Award and the 2021 William and Winifred Bowness Photography Prize. Oh, so he wins $30,000 cash and $20,000 of camera gear. So it's not bad, is it?
Yeah.
Look, I would say I don't mind the image. I don't have, and I can see why.
You're allowed to be wrong. That's okay.
I see why it stands out from the rest, but I'm not. So, see, things I can say stuff like that because it's true, and people can say because I'll never waver in my beliefs because I'm an arrogant, ignorant person. so it's pretty simple. So I would defend this image a lot more than most portrait prize images I've seen.
Fair enough.
And I agree. There's also a shock factor to it that whenever it looks at it, it's like, what? Why? What? This? It certainly draws attention, doesn't it? It's like we look at the Sony Landscape Awards, Astro, and we see a trillion beautiful images and we bypass them in seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's yet another phenomenal, beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And that's the same with portraiture a lot. And it's a lie. And again, this almost takes us back to this discussion earlier, this guy on Facebook with my photo, that he's having this reaction to one of my photos that to me, the photo's, it's all right.
Yeah.
So it's how everyone perceives things is so very different,
Yeah.
Anyway,
we need to wrap this up, but I did get a bunch of links sent through from Paul Sutton. I will quickly read the headings and I will put the links in the show notes for anyone that wants to check them out. His first one is further proof that when going underwater, the camera is the cheap part of the equation. Then he's got two from lensrentals.com, one about the most expensive lenses currently in production and why manufacturers make a specific camera lens, which is probably based on the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago. Lightning on Jupiter from Petapixel and the Astro Photos of 2023 from DIYphotography.net. So I will put those links in the show notes. Sorry, Paul, that we don't have the time today to get to those stories, but I just need to move along. So, yeah, we will wrap it up.
Yes. I'll just have a quick look at the astro photos. Millions of beautiful photos. Look at that. Let's ignore them. Oh, is it a photo of Aurora here, Bruce? That's just like one of your photos.
Right.
Actually, multiple photos of Aurora. Look at that. God, just Aurora, Aurora Borealis, Aurora Stra. It's all there, Bruce.
Is it?
Anyway, I know you got to go. You go do your thing. I'm going to go have breakfast.
Yep. Awesome. All right, mate. Well, good to chat.
You too, mate.
And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Enjoy your day. Yep. Yeah, you will. Take care, everyone.
All right. See you, mate.
Doodles.
You've been listening to Shutters Inc. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.